The answers the computers give must themselves be questioned. This is especially true of AI. Questioning AI is the topic today on Mind Matters.
Welcome to Mind Matters News, where artificial and natural intelligence meet head on. Here's your host, Robert J. Marks.
Greetings. We've been talking to Gary Smith about AI and his great book, The AI Delusion, which I recommend highly. And we've been talking about Watson. This is the second episode where we've talked to Gary. And I would advise you, if you would, to go back and listen to the first episode if you haven't, in order to get some continuity here. Gary Smith is the Fletcher Jones Professor of Economics at Pomona College, and The AI Delusion, his latest book, is published by Oxford University Press. And if you're like me and you want to listen to it, you can go to Audible, who I think has a monopoly on audiobooks almost. So, Gary, we've been talking about IBM Watson, and we've talked about a bunch of interesting stuff. The big thing is that IBM Watson doesn't understand. I've heard it say, for example, that you can add numbers with computers, but computers themselves don't understand numbers. Exactly. It's actually deeper than that. And you talked about Searle's Chinese Room, which I think is a great story that explains the inability of computers to understand. Could you talk about that a little?
Well, it was John Searle, a philosopher. And he proposed this experiment that suppose you had a computer in a closed room and you give it instructions in Chinese and it processes those instructions and sends it back some output in Chinese. And it does a really good job at it. And the person outside the room thinks that there's a Chinese person inside the room. Now imagine a human's inside that room. And a human doesn't understand Chinese either, doesn't read or write, but has exactly the code, knows the code that's inside the computer. And so the Chinese instructions come under the door. The human picks it up, has no idea what it means, but uses the computer code to formulate some kind of answer and slips it back outside the door in Chinese characters. And it is exactly the same as a computer, except the human doesn't understand Chinese at all and is able to do it. And isn't that the same way with the computer? The computers can do things without really having any understanding of what they're doing. And that's the core of the issue, is the computers, they don't understand words, they don't understand numbers and context, they don't have common sense or wisdom or critical thinking. They follow instructions flawlessly, but that's not the same as understanding things or being able to interpret things or think about things critically. There's a great example, which is this little question. Is it safe to walk downstairs backwards if I close my eyes? And of course, humans have common sense and wisdom, and we say no. And a computer can't answer that question because it literally does not know what walk, downstairs, backwards, close, eyes, what safe, doesn't know what any of those things really mean in a human sense, because it doesn't understand the world. It just does mathematical representations of letters and numbers and other inputs it gets, and looks for patterns and correlations and gives some sort of output based on the instructions it's been given, without having any true understanding of what is going on in the real world.
Okay. Do you believe this statement, that IBM Watson is kind of like an illustration of John Searle's Chinese Room, except they're using all of Wikipedia and all of the internet in order to garner the answers?
Yep, exactly. And
So IBM Watson is a big, big example of Searle's Chinese Room.
Yep.
And that's about all that it's doing. It doesn't understand what it's doing. It simply follows the algorithms. Since we're talking about IBM Watson, do you know the current status of IBM Watson? I've heard some bad things.
Well, they've been trying to go into all sorts of things and with mixed success. And One of the most hopeful things was that they'd be able to revolutionize medical care and healthcare, and it's not worked, because they could look up symptoms of various diseases, and they could look up cures for various diseases, and they could look up medical articles, but they don't understand which are more meaningful than others. They don't understand which medical articles are reasonable and which are bull. And so a lot of doctors have become disillusioned with Watson, and a lot of hospitals have literally pulled the plug. And just last year, the IBM Health Initiative, they laid off a bunch of people because of this disillusionment.
Yeah, I was really excited about IBM Watson being able to help with cancer. I know in my field, probably your field also, that there are hundreds of papers published daily in our discipline, and there's no way we can keep up with them.
And there's no way to tell whether which ones are real and which ones are just BS.
Exactly. And that's a topic that I want to talk to you about also, is the fake papers that are being generated from inappropriate data. But I was really excited about this because I thought, you know, these physicians, they have a cancer patient with certain number of symptoms, and they can go to this IBM Watson, they can read them the symptoms and try to let Watson understand, of course Watson doesn't understand, but try to tell Watson what these symptoms are, and Watson digs through all these hundreds of papers that are published every day, which are thousands per month and tens and hundreds of thousands over the last decade, and actually grabs the latest results and brings it to the physicians and says, try this. But like you said, even if it was able to do that, there's no way to test the viability and the validity of the results that Watson gives. Yeah. So I understand that, as you do, that IBM Watson is kind of going toes up. I read that MD Anderson Cancer Center, the project fails and it shut down. It's looking for other vendors right now. So that's kind of sad. I don't know if you follow this much, but is the failure due to strictly IBM Watson's inability to understand, or is it due to business practices? I've heard both. I don't know what the status of the failure is.
I don't know how much to weigh them, but I'm pretty confident that a lot of it's due to the fact that the computers don't understand what sense to make of such things and how to sort through sense and nonsense.
Now, I've talked to other people, and they say, hey, it's like Googling. When you want to Google something, you have to be very specific with the keywords that you enter. Maybe these doctors and physicians just don't know the right keywords to enter. What would be your reaction to that?
I don't think that's it. I think that the problem goes much, much deeper, and in the sense of, again, like I've been saying, that although computers could come back with output, they don't know which output is relevant, which is irrelevant.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. I've also heard that they've mismanaged it also. It's the idea. I know as an engineer, you think that you get a good result and the world's going to beat a path to your door to use your invention, and boy, that doesn't work. You need to interface, and you need to get down and dirty with the people that are actually applying it. You mentioned that you had read, or one of your colleagues said, that IBM Watson was a fraud. Yeah. I got a quote from venture capitalist, and I have practiced saying his name, Chamath Palihapitiya. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, I'll let you wrestle that one.
Chamath Palihapitiya. He is the CEO of the investment firm Social Capital, and he pulled no punches. He said, Watson is a joke, to be honest. And then he said, using very nice words, that IBM Watson appeals to stupid people. Here's what he said. He said, I think that IBM is excellent at using their sales and marketing infrastructure to convince people who have asymmetrically less knowledge to pay for something. Yeah. I think somebody with asymmetrically less knowledge is somebody that's stupid, right? So yeah. He said it so nicely, though.
In 2017, AI was the marketing word of the year. And all these companies are just, they're saying we do AI because it sounds so cool and sexy. And it's often just a marketing gimmick.
Now, you said it was the marketing word of
year. The American Association of Marketers or something chose it as AI as the marketing word of the year in 2017.
I see. So you put AI in front of something and you could probably get lots of investment in that.
Yep.
Let me ask you this. I talk to proponents who look at AI almost as a religion, and they say, you know, yeah, this is a problem now, this idea that IBM Watson can't understand. But you know what? Someday, in some way, we are going to figure out how to get around this. We're going to give IBM Watson context. We're going to allow it to be able to distinguish between these ambiguities. And I kind of have labeled these kind of the algorithm of the gaps. You know, it's almost like they want to do this, and they think some algorithm in the future that they're going to create is going to solve this. Do you think that this problem will ever be solved, or do you think this is a problem of the problem that's always going to be here?
Well, I've talked to a lot of computer scientists, including two I respect a great deal, Roger Schenck, who I mentioned before, and Douglas Hofstadter, who they were both there at the beginnings of AI, and they're trying to design algorithms, computer programs that would mimic human thinking and would be able to understand the world and have common sense and wisdom and critical thinking. And it was really, really, really hard, and they weren't making any progress. And the profession went off in a different direction, which is let's solve really narrow questions and make some money. And so things like search engines and things like that. But the limitation is once you go off and look for patterns and correlations like search engines or spell checking or stuff like that, you can make money. But it has nothing to do with human thinking, critical thinking, common sense, wisdom, or anything like that. And it's like climbing to the top of the tree to get to a moon. And once you get to the top of the tree, then what? And I think what people are realizing in the profession is they got to go back and try and realize that vision of Doug Hofstadter and others, which is try and write computer programs that actually have common sense and wisdom and have some understanding of the world. And it's really hard. But I think until we've solved that problem, to have a kind of general intelligence where you see something and you learn a lesson from it, and then you apply it to something completely different, until we have programs that can do stuff like that, have a general intelligence, I mean, that's the holy grail right now, general intelligence, that computers are going to be limited in their usefulness. And Hofstadter, Doug, says that it's not theoretically impossible that someday computers will have human-like qualities. They'll have the common sense, the wisdom, the critical thinking. They'll be able to tell jokes. They'll be able to do stuff like that. But it's not going to happen in his lifetime, or his children's lifetime, or even his grandchildren's lifetime. It's just such a hard problem. And it's totally different than the kind of problems that most of the engineers at Google and elsewhere are working on. There are some people, like Oren Etzioni up at Washington, who's trying to figure out how to give computers common sense for things like, is it safe to walk downstairs backwards if I close my eyes? The computers can actually understand what such things mean.
And so you actually think that this is possible in the future?
It is possible, but not in our lifetimes. It's just...
I'd like your take on my sort of viewpoint. Computers can only do things which are algorithmic, yep. Which are recipes, which are a set of yep. instructions. Yep. I believe that the things that we've mentioned are possibly non-algorithmic.
Yeah.
That there are things...